The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio today to take your questions and talk about what works for you and some natural alternatives. As always, I'm Dr. Safdie Pina, and I'm here filling in for Dr. Rozelle as he's out teaching again, becoming more common now that he's getting out of the office more. But I can't do it alone. I'm going to be here with your Wednesday night presenter for this Wednesday, December 6th at 7 p.m. We'll be talking just a moment about the topic of headaches and migraines. And the presenter and who's in the studio with me today is Dr. Harlan Browning.
Good morning, Stephanie. Always good to be with you.
Always good to have you here. I know we're going to get lots of questions and everything, and I never have to worry with Dr. Browning in here, so... But we're going to talk about headaches and migraines in just a little bit. And if you have a question that you want to call in and get answered, give us a call here at Live in Studio. The number is 1-888-630-9625. Again, that number is 1-888-630-9625. And as we go through, we're also going to have something else we can talk about when you're signing up for the lecture over at the office. You can call them about giving back to others during this holiday season. So, Dr. Browning, I know we've done headaches and migraines before, so I know you've got some great new information for everybody that wants to come and attend. And this isn't just if you have a headache and migraine, also if you know anyone who has a headache and migraine. Common during the holiday season, this isn't the headaches we're talking about, like fighting off the traffic in the malls and everything, but what basically everyone, I think it's one out of 20 people worldwide gets a attention migraine every single day. Tell me a little bit why we see so many patients coming into the office and why we get so many questions about this particular topic.
Well, I think it's multifactorial, meaning that there's lots of different things that causes headaches. Certainly, the common ones that we see are tension headaches, migraine, cluster headaches, hormonal, which a lot of times people don't talk about, and allergic reactions. So lots of different causes. There's similar mechanisms that go on, but the treatments can often be very diverse to remedy the issue.
And also different combinations of ones as well, too.
Correct.
So we know that a lot of people, when they come in, they've gotten that diagnosis of, you know, either have migraine or a cluster headache. And, you know, they're thinking positional-wise where they feel that pain and where it's located. And, you know, sometimes their options are just medications and stuff. But when you talk about how it's multifactorial, how much is it? Do you have to look at the rest of the person's health to figure out what's going on and what's causing their headaches?
Well, you know, our mantra in the office is chemical, structural, and emotional. So very often there's a little bit of each end of that triangle that causes us to have headaches. On the structural side, certainly we can have excessive muscle tension or TMJ problems. On the chemical side, we could be very inflamed because our diet is poor. And on the emotional side, we can be under excessive stress, so we produce hormones of stress. All of those have ramifications in the body and the endocrine system, and very often the end product is a headache, either, you know, infrequent, or for some people it could be several times a week and be debilitating.
Yes, we know people will come in, and obviously they can kind of describe sometimes what's going on and have a position about I'm feeling that sharp stab behind the eye, or it's coming from the back of my neck and moving to the head and everything. When we were sitting down and talking with patients first about their headaches and migraines, because a lot of times they haven't had a chance to talk to this about their primary doctor, what's the first things that we look for when we're looking in that structural, biochemical, and mental, emotional?
Well, the things that I look at are the factors that might lead up to the headache. The location of the headache is in the front, the part of the head is in the back, is on the temporal bones, on the side of the head. Is there a time component? Does it happen every once a month? Does it happen the same time every day? Is there provocative factors? Are there things that trigger it, you know, foods or chemicals or scents or things like that? What's the intensity, Okay. How intense does it get? And certainly what helps it, what alleviates it? When you look at all of those factors, it helps you really refine what the cause of the headache is. So ultimately you can treat the underlying issue so you don't have to repetitively take over the counter medications or in many cases, prescription medications for migraines.
And I would think those factors too also help us determine when a headache is more than just a headache symptom and there's something further that needs to be investigated in as well.
Yeah. So, you know, certainly things like hypertension can cause headaches, and a lot of times people don't think about that. So, you know, we have to look at comorbidities, meaning other things that the person might have that could contribute to the headaches that they get.
So when we talk about headaches, and which is obviously, like I said, the topic for this Wednesday, September the 6th, and if you're interested, you can call into the office and set up and reserve your spot. When we talk about headaches, the primary thing when people come in too, and you were talking about timing being interesting, like if you're seeing them in the fall and the spring or when the weather's starting to change it, possibly looking at sinus or allergy issues and more sinus headaches, tension headaches, I guess could run really at any point in time and looking at, you know, how are they handling with stress management as well too. But what I think is also interesting is that we see these different sensitivities so that people come in and all of a sudden they're sensitive to light, they're sensitive to sound, they're sensitive to, you know, chemical smells and stuff will start to create some of these issues too. Why do you think we see more and more of that and why is that not being treated elsewhere?
Well, I think we're probably in general seeing more people suffer from migraines now than, let's say, 20 years ago. All the things you talked about, we call them prodromes, which means that a person starts to get these different sensations before they actually get the headache. And for many people, they just get a sense that something's going to happen and the headache forms. So, you know, those certainly can give us indications of the way the body is maintaining itself. So if a person has sensitivity to chemicals, okay, chemical smells, perfumes, cleaning products, that almost always means that the liver is overburdened. One of the things I tell my patients to check is if you put your thumb on your skin and push down and the skin bleaches, okay, and it turns white, it should become pink again within 10 seconds. If it takes longer, 15, 20, 30 seconds, that's a pretty good sign that you're becoming more toxic as time goes by.
I think sometimes also using the skin kind of pinch test, looking at hydration, the fact that hydration can have a lot to do with headache and also what we're eating and stuff as well, too, as far as either triggers or aggravating.
Sure, certainly. People just don't drink enough water, and then they drink a lot of diuretics, coffee, teas, sodas, and then blood sugar. You know, we sometimes don't think about that, blood sugar handling. If we don't have meals on a frequent basis and our blood sugar drops, one of the things that we can experience is certainly a headache.
So that is our topic for this week, and headaches and migraines. And if you are interested in hearing Dr. Browning talk about this, we're going to have you give the Rizal Center for Healing a call to set up your spot and reserve it for this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. That number at the office is 703-698-7117. Again, 703-698-7117. And just a little bit, we're going to tell you what else you can do to help out others at the same time when you're calling in. You can also register online as well, too, and one of the girls at the office will give you a call back to confirm your reservation, usually sometime on Monday morning, so that you can make sure you can get the spot to listen to Dr. Browning. We've got a caller on the phone. Joan, thanks for holding. How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call. My 88-year-old sister, who is out in St. Louis, is going to have an ultrasound on Tuesday for an ovary that's behind her bladder. Now, she said she can feel a lump like around where your appendix would be. And, of course, I'm very worried about her, but I'm wondering, can they do, would think they'd biopsy, but can they do that, a needle biopsy, or would that have to be removed by surgery, and kind of what the next steps might be?
You know, Joan, I think the thing that you want to think about first is get the ultrasound done, and possibly they might recommend following up with an MRI. This might not be a situation where a biopsy is even needed. So, I would first, you know, see what you're dealing with before you start even thinking about having biopsies.
Oh, I'm leaping to conclusions. She had a CAT scan, and that's where this why the ultrasound was ordered. And I'm just concerned too that, you know, at 88, Well, but your answer still stands.
Yeah, once you get more information, then it becomes easier to figure out what you need to do moving forward.
Yeah, usually if they're ordering additional testing on that too after they've done something like CAT scan, they're still trying to rule out what it is and look at different possibilities as well too. So, and then they'll come up with that next positive stuff. So hopefully she does well, and thank you, Joan, for calling in. And one of the interesting things is I have a good question for you is imaging wise, like since it's such a, with headaches and migraines, you're maybe not necessarily seeing blood flow movement or constriction to the brain and to the head as well too. But is there things that you can see imaging wise that helps rule out different types of headaches or migraines?
Yeah. So first and foremost, very, very rarely is a headache caused from a tumor. And that's the first thing that people usually ask me. Maybe I have a tumor. Well, it's not very common. Certainly MRIs will be done when a person has progressive headache patterns. Most of the time, there's nothing there to explain it. So if you want to do additional type testing, I think thermography might be something that's worth a look at. That tells us how active the blood flow is to the area of the head. There's different ways to look at activity of the muscles in the face itself, and certainly the TMJ muscles. And I would always look at the cervical spine as being a cause of the headache. The nerves that come out of the neck go to the head. So if we get compression or tractioning of those nerves, certainly that can trigger it as well. But for the most part, conventional imaging for most people with headaches doesn't exactly tell us why it's happening.
So again, we're going back and trying to find really the cause of this is really what the issue is, and then the headache becomes more of a symptom of it, like the red flag of what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. It's a very gray area as far as what's causing it. So you need to put all your clinical skills together. You need to look at, again, the chemical, structural, and emotional side of it, and then start with the most conservative therapy and then go from there. There's just so many people who are put on medications for migraines, and most of the time those medications, for those who don't know it, are anti-seizure medications. So that medication is basically telling the brain just to stop. So I'm not real comfortable with people being put on seizure meds unless they have seizure problems. So start with the most conservative and then go from there, because most of the time it will fix it.
Yeah, and I had a patient that the exact same thing. That's the first thing she was put on was anti-seizure medication. And I sat there and I said, let's try some acupuncture and let's get a chiropractic adjustment and take a look and see what's going on. Because a lot of hers was actually this, like you talked about earlier, the liver is getting toxic. And so things weren't processing. She wasn't hydrating. So looking at preventing basically that buildup of stuff that's not happening when you're not healthy and trying to clean up the rest of the system so we get rid of this as well, too. One of the things too, as well, as we start to see, especially this year with the molds and allergies and pollens and the weather going up and down, we can see that at least that sinus pressure start to prevent or to make a headache basically kind of linger as well. So you're seeing some of these other outside environmental influences.
Yeah, definitely this time of year. And because we really haven't had a hard freeze here in Northern Virginia, the mold is becoming a big issue. So a lot of my patients are coming in and I'm complaining of this. So it helps when we get that hard freeze early on because it knocks out a lot of the mold. And then don't forget about in the house. You got to check the ducts. You got to make sure that they're clean. Replace the filters. Simple things like that can make a big difference.
Yeah, little things, since you're taking things out for the holidays, might as well clean up everything in the same time as well too, and make sure that also possibly if you've got dry heat, the way that's going to affect and dry you out as well too. We're going to take a quick break, but then we're going to be back with the Dr. Tom Rozelle live show. And welcome back to the Dr. Tom Rozelle live show. We are live in studio here to talk about headaches and migraines today with Dr. Harlan Browning. I'm standing in for Dr. Rozelle as he once again heads out and teaches and tours and inspires. And if you are interested in this topic, headache and migraines, you have a headache or migraine that's been continuing, haven't gotten answers, or looking for more information, especially for those of you who have come to the Rozelle Center for Healing before for the lectures, this is another great one going to be presented by Dr. Browning on Wednesday, December 6th, as we get closer to the holidays. We don't want you having a headache and dealing with all the stress and everything else, so we want to make sure it's a good time to make some changes. So if you want to sign up for this and reserve your spot, call the office, the Rozelle Center for Healing, at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Or you can also reserve your spot online as well, too, at rozellecare.com. All rozellecare.com. There should be a link that says, but with the healthcare classes as well, too. And while you're there, one good thing also for the season of giving is those of you who've worked with us for now know about how we work with the charity, the 501c3 Caring for Others. And what we do every single Christmas time is we actually have a Caring for Others kind of Christmas gala, which helps out giving little Christmas joy to some of the local shelters that kids and families are a part to in the local area. And we have 6 days left. It's going to be after the radio show next Sunday when Dr. Rozelle is back. And we basically try to give them a little Christmas cheer. One of our patients knows Santa Claus, so Santa Claus shows up at the shelters and they throw a little party. But we need your help. We need still about 100 Target gift cards left. And each of those Target gift cards, what we try to do is give them to the kids so that they can go and get what they need as necessary. Each gift card is roughly $25 or $50, so that goes to each child. And if you feel like you want to be able to help us this year with our CFO event, you can also call the office as well, too, the 703-698-7117, and actually place your you can give them, and they can take a credit card number over the phone. That way, if you do it that way, the whole amount goes towards the gift cards for the children in this particular event, which is next Sunday. And the good thing with that is then they will get your information, and it is a, since it's a 501c3, you can get a tax deduction for it. So we need roughly 100 more gift cards. If you're feeling like you're in the giving mood and love to give towards a good cause, give the office a call and talk to one of the girls up front, and they can get all the information you need to not only get yourself a tax reduction and also give back to CFO, which we do through our lectures, we do through Ageless Health, we do through a lot of different things. So you hear about Caring for Others often, but this is the time of year that we need your help as well, too. Dr. Browning, headaches and migraines. We talked a little bit about structurally what's kind of going on. What do we usually see that might make it different between a more metabolic syndrome when someone's coming in and it may be more hormonal based or blood sugar based or dehydration compared to when they come in and they say, everything's been bad since this accident or injury?
Well, usually when a person has a headache that's associated with some sort of structural issue, there's certain things, positions and certain activities that will bring it on and make it worse, and certainly will make it better. And there's certainly contributing factors like eye strain, TMJ issues, jaw issues, and just poor ergonomics at work. So, you know, the first thing I talk to about with people who have headache patterns is, you know, what does your workstation look like? Do you have two monitors? Are they at eye level? You know, where's your keyboard? Where's your mouse? Because this can definitely cause headaches, and, you know, I see it quite a bit.
And we also see that too when not even at work, but when people go home and all of a sudden now they're back on their computers and they're trying to sleep and getting a lack of rest because their computers are back up and we've got the electronics going. And then, you know, what are they eating at night if they're eating late and everything going on as well too. So all these different triggers that, you know, when you're home and you're there to rest and relax, you're not even really doing it at that time too. So different figures, facts and figures that we have to look at beyond just where is it and what, how long have you been having it. The other thing that I want to ask about too is we have a lot of people that come in that maybe headaches are part of another type of cranial or facial pain. We have patients that come in a lot with like trigeminal neuralgia, that, you know, the pain that's basically along that trigeminal nerve in the face. How often do you see that headache as part of an inflammation pattern of other things that might be going on in the facial area or in, like you said, the neck, upper shoulders?
Well, certainly, you know, when we have too much tension in the upper neck, we have too much tension in the jaw, it'll definitely trigger headaches. The one thing that I find interesting, though, about the frequency of headaches is a lot of times if I see a new patient for whatever type of problem, and we have a form where you check off different things that you have, and let's say a person's coming in actually for, let's say, back pain, almost always they're checking it off that they're having headaches too. So the frequency of headaches for people is astronomical, in my opinion, and the fact that a lot of folks just don't think it's that big of a deal because they can take a couple of Advil for it. So certainly headaches can be a part of multiple conditions.
A different red flag, per se, of everything that's going on from inflammation to chemical, mental, emotional, structural.
Certainly.
We're going to be back. We have to take our mid-break. It's going quickly, so make sure if you're missing anything here, you can also go back and listen to the YouTube channel, Dr. Rozelle's channel, where all of the past broadcasts can be found as well, too. But we're coming back in just a little bit and talking more about headaches and migraines with Dr. Harlan Browning, your presenter this Wednesday.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio taking your questions if you have any and talking about headaches and migraines with Dr. Harlan Browning, who is going to be your presenter this Wednesday night, December the 6th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing located in Fairfax, Virginia. If you haven't been to the building since we moved almost a year ago, I guess it was in March, there's not a bad seat in the house because we have not only the front screen, but also all the other TVs around you too. So it's a great experience, and we figured out we can fit about 50 to 60 people in there, comfortably. And basically, but we still need you to reserve those spots as well too, so we know exactly to prepare for you, so that we make sure that you can get as much education as possible. Also, if you look on our website, rozellecare.com, you have the upcoming lectures as well too, from December the 6th lecture. December the 13th, Dr. Scott Lamp is going to be presenting natural approaches to high blood pressure right before Christmas. On January the 10th, we have knees and hips, a natural approach, also by Dr. Lamp. And then Dr. Browning is back in, and he'll be talking on the 24th of January on acute and low back pain. So definitely got a few lectures to look forward to. You can always go to that website to see what's coming up. And as always, and the presenter who is going to be doing that topic is going to be on the show the Sunday before. And by the time we get to the end of the year, we will always have our shows back on Sunday. We won't have to worry about being pushed around by the Redskins anymore. So let's talk a little bit more about headaches and migraines. And Dr. Browning brought up a good point about bringing up the hormonal aspects of it, because there are a lot of different hormones that are always involved with functional processes in the body, but headaches can be a sign and symptom of this as well too. Dr. Brown, you want to take it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly with ladies, you're always going to consider the role hormones play, specifically estrogen, estradiol. It has a profound effect on mediating or buffering pain, believe it or not. So when there's a fluctuation in estrogen, most commonly a dip in it, then we're going to be more susceptible to pain, and headaches are certainly one of those things. Another one that what we look at is adrenaline. It's not really a hormone per se, but it's a chemical messenger, and adrenaline is produced in the adrenal glands when we're under stress, and it causes constriction of the blood vessels. So as the blood vessels become tighter, then we have less blood flow. And then as that blood vessel relaxes, as it has to, then we rush that blood back in. And that's kind of the typical pattern that you see with migraines. It's a constriction followed by an opening, or vice versa. So hormones are definitely something we want to look at. And luckily, we can actually test those. We can see the level of estrogen. We can see the levels of testosterone, progesterone. And then we can certainly see if the hormone is being converted properly. Sometimes hormones are converted into things that that are detrimental to the body. So we want to check all those.
Well, no, and I treat a lot of women's medicine. They're coming in for different issues, and headaches is definitely part of that. And also paying attention, you know, is it worse at the beginning before a period's going to start? Does it get better afterwards, or mid-cycle as well, too? And some of the, you know, birth controls and the medications that are out there, too, have side effects that are related to this. And why is that? Is it affecting the way that the body's metabolizing hormones? So it's affecting what levels are going on. So we see this not only in adult women, but also in teens as well, too, that where their hormone cycles are still starting to rev up and trying to normalize as well. I would also think when you bring up cortisol too, that sympathetic system, that fight flight that we're kind of always under, and the fact that migraines and tension hormones can, or tension headaches can be related to that, the treatments then we'd want to do is to kind of help balance out the sympathetic and that rest, digest, parasympathetic system as well.
Yeah, and definitely you want to buffer that cortisol, because if this cortisol is just freely flowing through the body, not only is it going to affect pain patterns, but it affects our blood sugar regulation. It affects the integrity of our connective tissue, our sleep wake cycle. I mean, just on and on and on. So, you know, initially what you want to do is add things in that will actually physically buffer it. Phosphatidylserine is one of the things I like to use. It protects the brain from being beat up by cortisol. Cortisol causes a lot of short-term memory loss. So we don't want that to happen. So while we're figuring out where it's coming from, we want to buffer it and then ultimately remove the stressor.
And we also know, too, that, like you're saying, with the cortisol kind of beating up the brain, you know, headaches that come from different traumas and concussions and stuff, too, things that, you know, people are told to watch out for after, you know, accidents and incidents happening. We know that can have long-term effects, just like the headaches may not be, you know, signs and symptoms of something going on currently, but something that's been going on with their health for a while as well. Also looking at blood sugar, you mentioned, with that, do you see high blood sugar being more of a factor, or do you see it just as much of a factor when someone has low blood sugar and is skipping meals or not eating well or tending towards more, say, carbohydrates and simple sugars in order to get through their day, bringing on headaches as well?
You know, I think I see typically more people with lower blood sugar. In other words, it drops beyond a baseline, and that causes a headache response. But in some cases, you know, certainly people who have elevated blood sugar can have headaches as well. It's definitely something you want to look at. And, you know, you want to check the blood. You want to make sure that the glucose levels are good. You want to make sure that what's called the A1C, that's a 3-month marker of blood sugars as well. And sometimes you might even do a glucose tolerance test where you challenge the body and you see what happens when you give it a sugary substance.
And with that type of testing, you're kind of seeing what happens almost in the next 2 or 3 hours.
Correct.
Compared to a baseline as well, too. So it's not something you might necessarily see done all the time at your primary care office, but you would in a type of office like ours.
Correct.
Yes. And like you're saying, with the hormone testing as well, looking at other symptoms that are other things that might be causing it, looking at not only hormones just on that one day, but over a longer period of time, just like we test cortisol 4 times during the day instead of just that one urine or blood test that you might see at a primary care office if there's an issue.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. For ladies, you know, who are still menstruating, if you really want to get an understanding of what their hormones are doing, you have to track them over the course of the cycle or the month or whatever, how many days it is. So my preference is to use saliva-based hormone testing. And the labs, what they do is they'll collect about 11 samples over the course of the cycle, so you can see exactly the rhythm of the estrogen and the progesterone. If we just do a blood test, all we're getting is information on that one day. And it just doesn't make sense to have a person come back and do multiple blood tests. So if it's a cycling female, you want to do multiple samples over the course of the cycle. If it's a male, one day is fine. If it's a postmenopausal woman, one day of sample is fine as well.
Yeah. So definitely kind of looking at the longer effects of what's going on, especially if something's cyclical and every cycle something happens, and trying to figure out what the right way to balance that is instead of just assuming everybody's got either high estrogen or low progesterone.
Right. If there's a time factor, you're always considering hormones. If a person wakes up with migraines or headaches behind the eyes, I start thinking thyroid, because thyroid hormone will cause that pattern as well. Sometimes gallbladder. So as you know, as an acupuncturist, gallbladder issues will present with pain behind the eyes and certainly cause facial issues as well.
Yeah, and also like when we think about, you know, the tightness of other muscles that might be happening at the same time as the headaches, our body tenses and tightens with especially tension migraines. You know, major gallbladder point is that point on the top of your shoulders where everybody would like a good back rub and release that muscle tension. That's a gallbladder point too. And in Chinese medicine, the liver and the gallbladder not only detoxify us mentally and emotionally, but from that physical standpoint as well too. So if we're not dealing with our stress and emotional stressors as well as our physical stressors there's a problem there as well. When we talk about muscles in the other parts of the body too, one of the other things that we talk a lot about here too is TMJ, and we worked with quite a few patients between the two of us where they've had different symptoms that have come up, and we've worked with Dr. Chung and Dr. Singer about kind of how people hold all that tension, and they might start to feel that headache starting in near their TMJ joint. One of the ways too, do we see that reflecting on muscle tension other areas in the body, or do we see that just as a jaw issue the way we normally think of it?
Well, the TMJ has a very far-reaching effect neurologically on the whole body. So certainly when a person has a poor bite, in other words, that the teeth don't contact the way they should, or the jaw is juxtaposed too far forward or too far backward, it's going to increase the tension of the muscles of mastication, the muscles we use to chew. And those muscles are on either side of the jaw, and they're also on our temples. So big area of the faces is taken up by muscles that help us eat and breathe and do all those types of things. If the jaw is not in good position, it can cause us to have apnea. Okay, so and when we start to reduce oxygen intake, then that can be certainly a cause of a headache pattern too. So I will look closely at the TMJ, especially when the person feels better after treatment, but a couple, 2-3 days later, they say, you know, it all starts to come back. That's when I start thinking maybe the jaw is sabotaging the situation. So you might want to partner with a doctor, you know, dentist that does specific TMJ, neuromusculoskeletal.
Yeah, and we know that lack of sleep, not only can it affect headaches and migraines, but then also affect basically the way that the body helps and heals and fights off infections as well, too. I know one of the main things that people do get worried, where you mentioned, you know, people are thinking, oh, it's a tumor causing my headache, too. They're thinking, oh, if I have this really, really bad headache, it's got to be, you know, a stroke happening or meningitis or some of these other diseases and stuff, too. As I mentioned earlier, when do we know that a headache is maybe more and have to really look at seeking advanced medical care?
Yeah, so if the headache is completely not typical for what you get, if it's debilitating and pain, in other words, it's the worst headache ever, if we start to lose changes in vision or balance, those are the warning signs that where you need to seek help pretty soon on, because in some cases, yes, a person can be having a headache because of an aneurysm or a stroke or, you know, the tumor. It's not very likely, but in some situations that can be the case.
And I know we've had sometimes that, you know, other people will tell a potential patient, like, you know, you just don't seem the way you normally have, and they're not even able to recognize their neurological changes, but there's other times where we have to look into that to see if it's something else as well, too. Headaches and migraines are the lecture topic for this Wednesday with Dr. Harlan Browning at the Rizal Center for Healing. And we are also open today to take your questions, too. Do you have a headache and migraine that you can't quite figure out, or your experience with, treating it with structural, mental, emotional? Feel free to give us a call here, 1-888-630-9625. 1-888-630-9625. And don't forget to call the office to sign up for this lecture and also to help out the kids for the CFO event that's coming up next Sunday night with your monetary contributions that are tax deductible. When we talk about headaches and migraines, one of the things that also we can't leave out too is the fact that if inflammation is coming from the digestive tract, because even though the head and the digestive tract seem like they're very different parts of the body, they're definitely connected. Whether we think about having the gut has its own immune system, its own neurological system to happen. What's the effect that we have of different dietary substances? Because we know that some of them, like alcohol, sulfites, obviously food sensitivities or allergies can have triggers that headaches become that symptom. What's some of the things we have to think about if it might be a digestive cause versus a structural one?
Well, you know, if the headache comes on, certainly right after you eat something or you drink something, then I would look real closely at the diet. Getting back to what you said about inflammation, a lot of folks just have out of control inflammation and they don't know it. So it might warrant testing for that. We use the brain span test in the office very often, and that looks at omega-3 fatty acid levels, which are anti-inflammatory. So we're going to check that. And we can look at markers of inflammation in the body, something called CRP. It's a generalized marker of how inflamed we are. And then there's other specific ones like homocysteine that tell us our level of inflammation. So if a person has lots of other comorbidities, you know, the diabetes or overweight, the cholesterol, then you can be pretty sure that they're inflamed. So you're going to want to check that.
One of the interesting things that I know that I've seen people, you know, they've come in and said coffee, or even if you look at it, the caffeine substances that you'll see sometimes added into other headache medications can be a blessing and a curse, I guess you could say. It could be part of the treatment, but also part of the trigger as well. And can you just explain briefly, how does caffeine kind of play into effect with kind of either triggering headaches or helping them? Because I think some people, they try it and it doesn't work for them, and it may not necessarily be the answer that they're looking for, but it's the first, one of the first go-tos.
Well, getting back to what we talked about before, as far as the blood vessels and the vascular component, the caffeine causes the blood vessels to constrict, and that's why people who have migraines will drink coffee or soda or those types of things, or take Excedrin because it has caffeine in it as well, because typically what happens is the blood vessel goes from being relatively taut, probably too taut, to then it expands, and that's when we get the headache. So then people take the caffeine to cause the blood vessel to contract again. So ideally, the best thing to do is prevent the blood vessel from going through these big swings of contraction and relaxation. So on the flip side, when people try to stop drinking coffee, they get headaches because the blood vessels are so used to being contracted. So in those cases, you got to wean them off it very slowly, or else they're going to get these rebound headaches that are actually way worse than the headaches that actually got them drinking the coffee in the first place.
Yeah, so it's something that's not the easiest to explain, but you would also see that as other withdrawal symptoms from other types of substances like medications and sugar and all these other things that we're checking that create generalized inflammation in the body too. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes for the last section. Hopefully you can join us one last time for the second part. If you have a question and need to call in, feel free to call it in now, 1-888-630-9625. And also don't forget to register for Dr. Harlan Browning and Headaches and Migraines this Wednesday night. We'll be back in just a moment.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live here in studio, and we are talking about headaches and migraines. And I just want to remind everyone, too, when you come back in next Sunday, we won't be here on next Sunday. We'll be here on Saturday because of the Redskins. And that's going to happen also on the weekend of the December 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th. So a couple of times more this month before we go back to our regular scheduled Sunday, 12 to noon, or 12 to 1. But if you miss the show, you can also go to drtomrozelle.com and also the YouTube channel as well to listen to any of the recordings and find out who's going to be presenting in the office that week. Dr. Browning, we're going to take one more phone call and help to finish up this segment on headaches and migraines. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. We came and called in just in time.
Excellent. The question is, because I've learned more about bowel care, have you guys considered the bowel pockets and the nerve points in the colon? And I know they affect headaches, blood pressure, you know, asthma, frozen shoulder, things like that. I don't know if many of your clients get resolution with doing cleanses.
Yes, certainly when we have an inflamed gut or we have dysbiosis, dysbiosis meaning that the balance of good flora, the good bacteria in the intestine to bad bacteria skews towards the bad side, it can cause a lot of inflammatory issues that might not be GI related. So we can sensitize the nerves. There's a huge complex of nerves that innervate the gut, and the enteric nervous system is part of that. So people who eat toxic foods, people who have a toxic gut and have maybe leaky gut or maybe have parasites and they don't know it, can cause a lot of problems, and headaches is definitely one of them.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried to talk to a couple people and they think I'm crazy when I say their digestive tract or things like that could be one of the root problems, one of many.
Yeah, and it's pretty unique that the gut also produces a lot of serotonin. Serotonin we think about a lot because of the brain function, but it's produced mainly in the gut. So it's, we call it the second brain. So if you have imbalance in the gut, you're probably going to have imbalances throughout the body.
Thank you for calling in, Linda. And what's interesting, too, is from an acupuncture standpoint, we have not only the gallbladder, the stomach, the small intestine, all of those acupuncture meridians go up through the head to the scalp as well, too. So a lot of times, even though we think of it, as there physical inflammation going on, the energetics of it can also be treated in there as well, too.
Yeah. And then you always have to consider, if the gut is not as healthy as it should be, by default, the liver has to handle it because it filters all that out. So if there's toxic byproducts of the foods or there's chemicals, or if there's toxins being produced by funguses or bacteria, that the liver has to handle it. So now we're taking an organ that's usually overburdened and putting more burden on it, and it'll cause problems. And migraines and headaches are definitely one of them.
So headaches being just a red flag of so much more. So make sure you come and join us at the Rizal Center for Healing on Wednesday night to hear Dr. Browning talk about all the things we talked about here and then some. You can call the office 703-698-7117 to reserve your spot. And remember also, this is a special weekend. You can call in for Caring for Others to help us get throw a pretty darn nice Christmas party for these kids and help give gift certificates. Usually they're going to be $25 or $50, and you can charge that on your credit card by calling the office, the same number, 703-698-7117, and we'll be able to take care of that for you and also send you back a tax deduction donation letter. Hopefully you'll have good holidays for the rest of the month, because I believe Dr. Rizal is in for the rest of the month. I don't think he's taking too much more time off. And otherwise, we're going to keep continuing and into 2018. Hopefully will be a happy and healthy year. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina, and signing out from here live at WMAL. Thank you.